Second Chronicles, praise the Lord. Second Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20. Second Chronicles 20. Thank you, Lord. Second Chronicles 20. It's for the purpose of what we the Lord is doing this weekend. We just want to look at something very simple about overcoming the impossibles. Overcoming the impossibles. From verse 1, this is a very popular passage, but there are some things that I just want to pick out from there as we read on. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria and from Azazel, Tamar, which is Endeg and Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, swore judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they returned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That is a statement of impossibility. For we have no power against these great multitudes. We don't even know what to do. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ahaziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Joel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Alpha in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for this battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Everybody say tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow Friday. Praise the Lord. He says, for tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle, but what should they do? Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed down his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah And the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levite of the children of Kehathites and the children of Korah stood up to praise the God of Israel with voices loud and high. I'll read again. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Everyone say voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper." Again, I'll say, he said, "Believe the Lord your God, you will be what? Established. Believe his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper." Jesus said, "Whoever receives the prophet name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Let us say that again together. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now, these were the people that Israel was saying, "We don't know what to do, we don't have power against them." But these enemies were defeated without them having need to fight anything. They didn't need to do anything. All they needed to do is that they needed to listen, to obey. Amen. And the instruction came from God, but it came through a human vessel. And God said that when you are established, it is him. But he said when it comes to prospering, it's his prophets. Praise the Lord. The Lord said, "Believe the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Established." Do you know what it means to be established? I'll tell you what it means to be established. If any man be in Christ, is a what? New creation. Can that be taken away from you? No. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in every places. It can't be taken away. You were dead, but you have been made alive together with Christ. It can't be taken away. Are you understanding me? Can that be taken away? No, we know why it can't be taken away. Because they are all secure in the Lord's hands. He said, "Whoever I hold in my hand, no one is able to snatch them out." He said, "Because the Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch my sheep out of my hand." Why? Because there is an establishment in the Lord. Are we understanding me? There's an establishment. But do you know that to bear fruit does not only wait till establishment? Jesus, that is all that is because we are in Christ. If anyone be in what? Christ is a new creation. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, isn't it? In Christ you are circumcised. In Christ we are justified. In Christ we are the righteous of God. In Christ. In Christ. Amen. But in Christ alone is not what makes us fruitful. Jesus said, "Whoever abides in me, and then I in them will bear much fruit." Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, to abide in him is the establishment. For him to abide in us is the prosperity. And when I say prosperity, it doesn't just limit to money. Talking about prosperity of the body, prosperity of the soul, and prosperity of the spirit. In fact, Israel prospered in body, but they didn't prosper in soul. They said, "Lord, we miss the things and all the things we enjoy in Egypt. That is Egypt. That's what we want. The cucumbers and all the things, they prospered there." God said, "That's why we won't have it." But Bible said, as they got it, he added leanness to their soul. You know, their soul became lean. They were famished. They were impoverished in their soul. Amen. That means they were not growing. They were not conformed to Christ, which has to do with eternity. Amen. They were not able to overcome the flesh. Though they had meat, they had everything that Egypt had in abundance. But in their soul, they were not prosperous. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophet, then you shall prosper. Why? Because prosperity is the fruit of your establishment. Prosperity is a physical manifestation of what has happened in the spirit that man do not see. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we proud before? Well, we cease to be proud and men see the change. Amen. Are we sick? We cease to be sick and men see the change. Praise the Lord. Emotionally stable and men see the change. Praise God. Poor and you became rich and men see the change. It is a witness. It is something that bears witness that what this person are proclaiming to believe is true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so it is, the Lord said to them, this battle is not yours. You know what? Because an enemy came against them. They faced a situation that is impossible. It looks like this thing can never happen. But Jehoshaphat did something that a lot of people don't do. He went into the house of the Lord and he consulted the Lord. Just as we have been coming to the house of the Lord. Have you never seen that the word of God says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Why was he glad? Because there is solution in the house of the Lord. Amen. Many people don't see solution in the house of the Lord. There is solution in the house of the Lord. Another place said, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the court house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is benefit in being in the house of the Lord. Praise God. And so here, Jehoshaphat went into the house of the Lord and then he inquired of the Lord. I said, God, this is some situation that is absolutely, it looks impossible. Amen. It's a situation that we don't have enough weapons. At that time, Israel doesn't even have weapons to fight. And all these people have all the high-tech technological instruments. We don't have the number. They outnumber Israel. In fact, apart from the fact that they don't even have the power, they say that we don't even know what to do. Have you been in a place, or as a church been in a place whereby there is no power and we don't even know what to do? I can tell you, yeah, it's true. The church has been there. The church has been there. Go to every places. Everybody has strategy for winning souls, but yet we don't see souls win. Everybody has strategy for doing things. It's like, yes, this is this. It's that we have to do this. Maybe let us try this. Maybe let us do this. We look as if when you look at the world, you look at even our circumstances, it's like this thing is there. We have no power to overcome them. And we don't even know what to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when Jehoshaphat went to God and into the house of the Lord, by the time he spoke to God, God told him something. God said, Jehoshaphat, do not be at rest. Do not be afraid. God said, because this battle is not yours, but mine. Now, that explains why they did not have the power. That explains why they didn't know what to do. The reason is because they were fighting a battle that they were not supposed to fight. They were trying to get involved in a warfare that they were not supposed to fight. Amen. So if he hadn't gone to God to make inquiry, maybe he would have still been wondering. He would have still been struggling. He would have still been devising ways. Amen. But when God told Jehoshaphat, I said, Jehoshaphat, this battle is not yours. I can tell Jehoshaphat would have thought, oh, no wonder. No wonder we didn't know what to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding me? I mean, if people are going to go to fight in Iraq today, People who are fighting in Iraq, they know what to do because they have been trained to do it. We are not going to fight. Suddenly they put you in Iraq. You don't know what to do. Are you guys with me? That was the same situation. He wasn't supposed to fight. Israel was not supposed to fight in that battle. Could it be that the problem of the church today is that we have been fighting a battle we are not supposed to be fighting? Because the Lord said to him, he said, this battle is not yours, Jehoshaphat, but it is mine. So since you have been trying to fight a battle now, that's not in the Bible, but this is by revelation. Since he has been trying to fight a battle that's not his, he doesn't have the power and he doesn't know what to do because it doesn't belong to you. Praise the Lord. If I bring that to the New Testament, God is telling us today, there is no battle that is ours. We don't have any battle. Are you getting me? The battle is the Lord's. But it's different today. In those days, God had to go and fight the battle for them. But today, God has fought the battle 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the whole battle was won. It was concluded. From eternity past when Satan fell to eternity future, Jesus has won the battle. And I can see Jesus saying to the church, the battle is not yours, but it is mine, and I fought it for you. Hey, man, are you getting me? Bible says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The word of the Lord says this. He says in Hebrews 2 verse 14, inasmuch as the children are partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release all those who through the fear of death were all their latter subject to bondage. In other words, as long as we are flesh and blood, because we are flesh and blood, Bible says that God himself identified and became like us, so that being like us, he can fight the enemy, and he destroyed him who had the power of death. Satan has been destroyed. Amorites have been destroyed. All the Egyptians have been destroyed. They have been destroyed in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Are we hearing me? They have been destroyed. And so when we're going to look at it, from that point, we'll see that they have been. And so what did God say? He said, what you need to do is that you need to prepare yourself. You need to position yourselves. He said, Joseph, you don't fight, but your duty is to prepare yourself. Is to position yourselves. He said, for you will see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And God is telling us, we don't need to fight the battle. The battle has been fought. The victory is already ours. But to experience the victory, we need to position ourselves. We need to get ourselves ready and position ourselves. What does it mean to position ourselves? I'll tell us. What it means to position ourselves is that we need to deal with our hearts. We need to lay down our thoughts. And I want to tell you what it means to deal with the heart. Because when we talk about dealing with the heart, people even have different definitions about that. I'll tell us this in a simple sense. Your heart is something that is full of your ways, your mindset, your thinking, everything that is you and not God. Amen. God's heart has to do with God's ways, God's method, God's time. Amen. So when God said, blessed are the pure in heart, he's talking about those whose heart has, those who have neglected, aborted, sacrificed, and crucified their ways, their thoughts, and their own mindset to take on the thoughts, the ways of God. Are you getting me? That is what it means to have a change in heart. Amen. And we could not have done that ourselves. Jesus did it for us through the cross. Bible says we are the circumcision. Even that circumcision of the heart, he has done it. Bible says we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. Do we know that? Where did that circumcision take place? He said he's a Jew who is one inwardly and whose circumcision is of the heart and in the spirit. That means circumcision is in the heart. When Christ came, Christ circumcised our heart. Christ gave us a new heart. Amen. He said he will take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. When we got born again, he gave us a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. And when he gave us the heart of flesh, that heart of flesh came with the word of God. He said, I will put my word in their mind, and in their heart I will write them. What heart? But Pastor, when I look at my heart, I don't see the word of God. That is your natural heart. There is a spiritual heart. That spiritual heart, the whole Bible is in it. Not only the whole Bible, everything in eternity, past, future, everything is right there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so to really deal with the heart in the New Testament is talking about laying down our mindset, laying down our thoughts, laying down. Praise God. Putting down, what would I say? Our method, putting down everything, including that which is good and that which is evil. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why is it that our heart is impure no matter how good we do? The reason is simple. Because your heart, we were born into an evil world. Praise God. We were born into a corrupt environment. We were born into a world that is in subjection to the enemy of God. We were born into a world whose system is according to Satan. Praise the Lord. Amen. The scripture calls it the basic principles of this world. It is embedded in our tradition, culture, no matter what race, culture, tribe, race we come from. It is all programmed in different ways in there. Amen. Bible says that we know, 1 John 5 verse 19 says, we know that we are of God. But the whole world lies under the sway, the rule of the wicked one. But we know that we are of God. That is a pure heart. A pure heart says, I know I'm of God, but the world is under the rule of the wicked one. In other words, I am of God. I walk by something, another rule, but the world is operating under another rule, which is under the dominion of wickedness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we getting me? And so that is what it means. So a pure heart, something similar to what Moses got close to that, being meek. It's like being meek. Amen. Moses got close to it. But Jesus is the real expression of meekness. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, he was the meekest man that ever lived. But if you look at his life, he can be strong sometimes. He can be so strong sometimes. You will notice that he is focused fully and completely on the Father's will. Amen. To the point that when he was about to do his Father's will, and his own biological mother was coming in place, if Jesus did it, I don't think the Pharisees were around when Jesus told his mother and said, what have I to do with you, woman? Or when Jesus told his mother, said, my mother and my brother are these ones who are listening to the word. But those ones, I don't know who they are. These are my mother and my brother. If the Pharisees were around, they would have said, oh, did Moses not say, honor thy father and thy mother, that it had been well with thee? So you have dishonored. Are you understanding me? Praise the Lord. They would have said that. But Christ was so focused on the will of the Father that once he's doing the Father's will, anything that comes in the way instantly must be cut off. Hallelujah. Are we understanding me? Including Peter. As good as intentions were, his intentions were very good. Was so pure and very good. But yet Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. Amen. So can you see that? That was someone so focused on the Father's will. That is what it means to be pure in heart. Amen. And we can never be pure in heart except if God helps us. Now, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit came with the heart of the Lord. He came with another heart and gave us another heart. That heart that the Holy Spirit brought, listen to me, is the same heart of Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. It is called the heart of flesh. Jeremiah prophet, Jesus brought that, Holy Ghost brought that heart of Jesus and placed it in you. That's why Jesus Christ said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will take what is of mine and he will declare to you. He will lead you into all truth. He will not even speak anything on his own authority. Amen. Because he only operates by the thinking. Let me put it this way. God is so satisfied with the way Christ's mind is that he feels that is the best we can have. So instead of trying to create another heart for us, he just said, this heart that you walk with on earth, Jesus, that is the best heart. And the best is what I want for them. And he gave us that heart through the coming of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Are we hearing me? Praise the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit brought the heart of Christ into our being. Amen. But listen, but our natural heart is according to this world. And let us look at the difference. God said, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth. I want to ask you one question. Can anybody tell me the distance between heaven and earth? Does anybody know the distance between heaven and earth? I don't expect anybody to know. You know what? Astrologers, astronomers, or what? Don't know. Scientists don't know. They only know the distance between heaven and the constellations, the suns and the galaxies. But they don't know the distance between the earth and the heavens, because they don't even know where the heavens is. When they get to the last galaxy, they knew it still continues. In fact, there's a point they get to, they just turn back. Because they know if they adventure to some places, that is just bye-bye. Amen. Praise. They don't know. Amen. And God is saying that his own thought, his own ways is as high as that. And this is the heart that he now puts in you. Listen to me. Listen to me, saints of God. Here are you in a little clay. Your brain is just, your brain is not as even big as this. It's just a tiny little thing in there. Amen. Even when your brain was exposed to this world, it knew nothing about God. It was exposed to evil culture and tradition. You only got born again just yesterday. Hallelujah. And suddenly God expects you to know his will and to walk according to his ways. And to walk in the perfect will of God. How is that possible? How is that possible? It can only be possible only by people who will come to the end of themselves. Who will come to the end of themselves, realize that they are nothing before God, have nothing before God, amen, and be willing to open to all that God has. When we begin to get to that level, I'm telling you, we will almost be praying in the Spirit more than Paul. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than them all, because when we pray in the Spirit, that's why the Bible calls it mystery, something that man can't understand. Even your mind can't understand it, because you are speaking the undiluted, pure word of God. You know the undiluted thoughts of Jesus. Have you seen the way Jesus thinks? Have you look at the scripture. Imagine the way he thought. Imagine his mindset. Imagine the things he understood. Amen. Imagine him understanding, standing before the sea, and he could understand how he could suspend gravity and walk upon water. Imagine his mindset that even when he said, let us go to the other side, and the boats were about to perish, the people were crying out, and he was there just sleeping. What kind of mindset is that? Even men looked at him and said, what kind of man is this? A man who have never studied but yet know letters. They said, how come he knows all letters having never studied? In other words, he has never gone to school, but he was well educated, well knowledgeable, more than those who went to school. A mind so vast. Hallelujah. He could look at them in human flesh, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. In human flesh as man. I'm trying to let you see the mind of Jesus. Amen. And God is saying, this mind is that which he has given to us. We have the mind of Christ. He said, you have that sound mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding me? If our Bible says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That means the new man has a knowledge that is according to Christ. That means there is a realm of knowledge that is in me right now. That is a knowledge that can beat everything on its head. Amen. Are you understanding me? There is a knowledge in me. There's a knowledge in me that knows eternity past or eternity future. But yet, when I stand in my flesh, I'm still struggling with mathematics. Still struggling to understand the law of thermodynamics and gravity. Not even knowing how to balance demand and supply economically. Praise the Lord. But yet, there is something hidden in me that knows beyond everything. Praise the Lord. How can we get to that level? The only way is to be pure in heart. And purity of heart says, is something that Paul said. Paul said, for there is something good that dwells in me. Amen. Moses said, who are you? Who am I? Hallelujah. Everybody will get to the point in place where they'll see that. That is why you look at the children of Israel, they got to a place of impossibility. They got to a place. But let me tell you this. When the prophet went to the Lord downloaded his mind to the prophet. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. Did the children of Israel know they didn't have weapons? They knew. Were they all afraid? They were all afraid. Weren't they? They were all afraid. Were they all, they knew that they didn't have enough weapons? All of them knew, because Bible says all of Israel were afraid. One of them called himself the king, like them, went into the house of God and came out and said, the Lord said, even in, they will want to fight, they know they can't fight. And he came and said, we don't need to fight again. Just let's keep shouting, the Lord is merciful, and let's go to the camp. Now, how many of you follow such person in a natural thinking? Are you getting me? Now, we even if we have guns, they outnumber them. Now, you say you have two heads. Just because you enter one house, you spend some hours and you came out, and you are telling us to march on. To go and fight them without no weapon, just saying the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. What I'm trying to tell you is that they were pure in mind. God said, position yourself. And after they positioned themselves, when the word came, they could believe it. It wasn't easy for them. It wasn't that they just had it. Oh yeah, let's praise the Lord. Let's just be, and they just went, hey. No. They went, some of them might have gone, hey, just to praise. When we, and they know the amount of weapons these people have. But you know something? There was another mindset in operation. Because the one who has the battle is the one in charge now. The one who owns the battle said, this is what I want. I want you to pray in tongues. I want you to speak my language. I want you to declare my wisdom. The owner of the battle is speaking. And the people recognize it. I am the one. He said, the battle is not yours, but mine. Stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. Believe the Lord your God, you are established. But in prospering in this thing, believe my prophet, because I've downloaded something in his mind. There is a mystery. The prophet is not God, but I have given him an ability to understand a portion of my mind concerning this particular matter. He doesn't know everything of God, but concerning what you are confronting, he took that small portion and just, psh, amen. And the prophet said, hey, if we praise God, everything will be okay. His faculty went somewhere else. By the time he told the children of Israel, they have prepared themselves. Praise the Lord. Their hearts were open already. Are you understanding me? It wasn't that, no. Their hearts were prepared. They were pure in hearts. So when the word of the Lord came, it landed on a good soil and it bore fruit. Hallelujah. Why? Because it was prepared. And so even though it doesn't make sense, but they went ahead. Because look at me, they were not always like that. Do you know how many times Moses gave them instruction and they say, you, we will not go. And Moses will be angry with them and God will come down. But this time, something divine happened in their camp. It was a downloading of something from heaven. Amen. What they did physically was foolish and very dangerous. An enemy stronger than you, and you went to fight them singing and dancing. And those people have weapons. Have you seen that before? It was a foolish idea. Not to heaven, but on earth. But what happened? By the time they were going to get to the camp, there was no enemy to fight. That's a call from heaven. There was no enemy to fight. You know why? God has gone over before them. Praise the Lord. Divine technology took over. Divine wisdom. This weekend, their divine wisdom is going to take over. Hallelujah. Somebody says, look, Pastor, we have toiled for too long. We have toiled for too long. We have caught no fish. Amen. Hallelujah. By physical sense, once you have toiled in the night as a fisherman, forget it during the day. It was during the day Jesus said, let down the net. Where is this mind coming from? What God is saying is that do you know we have that mind? That mind is in you. We have that mind. We have it. I'm telling you, we have it. It might not be operating, but we have it. How do we get it activated? How do we get this mind activated? Do you know how we get it activated? Paul said, thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Do you know that out of all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, 8 of them manifested in the old covenant except one? Do you know that when man fell, God had to scatter men with language. And when man was reconciled, he had to bring them back with language. Language is an expression of authority. Hallelujah. Speech is currency in the spirit realm. Speech is power. Are we understanding me? Praise the Lord. I can go so much. I'm trying to keep myself back because. But Ramdas says that this weekend, God is going to download some mysteries in your spirit, man. But it will take a prepared heart. It will take a prepared heart. I think we need to pray in the spirit tonight in the morning. Pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Because if your mind is not prepared, even when it comes, have you ever heard people say, oh, we know this word is true, but we just can't understand. We just can't understand. The reason is because the heart is not prepared. The wisdom of God is not there to be able to explain it because we don't pray enough in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The only one that manifested, that didn't manifest the whole covenant, that they was speaking in tongues, and that was the first one that manifested in the new covenant. And you know what Paul said? Peter. Peter said, the promise that God has promised, the promise of the Father, which he promised through Jesus Christ, when he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, this is what you now see and hear. This is what you now see and hear. Praise the Lord. And so it is a very, very important key thing in relation to the heart of man. I'm not saying the heart of man to you. I'm not saying the heart of man to another man. But the heart of man in relation to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's why I keep telling people. I said, Paul said, when I pray in the spirit, he said, my spirit prays. Hallelujah. Who was the one that walked on this earth in his days that had more revelation from God? It was Paul. Even Peter said, this Paul is saying some things that we are finding it difficult. This was somebody who walked with Jesus, saw him shake hands with him, embrace him, slept, woke up with him. He said, but this man Paul, he only met Jesus down the road just yesterday, but he's saying things that we are... Paul and Peter said, we find it difficult to understand. Amen. You see, that comforts me because that's why I'm not surprised when people say, oh, we just can't understand. We can't understand. Even Peter too can't understand. Praise the Lord. But why? But what made Paul go to that other level? I believe one of the key things was that Paul was so meek. Paul was so meek before God. Amen. And what made Paul meek was that God broke him. This man went through experience that all the apostles didn't go through. He went through a lot of affliction. God had to break him to the point that he knew that, look, he's just nothing without God. And then God could download mysteries for our sake because he knows we need it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we need to cultivate that attitude. The battle is not ours, but the battle belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be unto him that unlike the days of Jehoshaphat where he had to fight, he doesn't need to fight even today. You know why? The battle that belongs to him, he has already won 2,000 years ago. He has already done it 2,000 years ago. That explains why we can cry and cry for some things and it looks as if God is still silent. Because we are asking for what he has already done. We are asking for what has already been concluded. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Again, I have the mind of Christ. One more time, I have the mind of Christ. Yes. Do you know God has put his law in your mind? He has written them on your heart. He has written them. Praise the Lord. If you take a time and you just meditate on these things, you begin to see that, no, we begin to come to a place that there is more to this Christianity than I've known it. Praise the Lord. And it is known that the average Christian hardly prays three or five minutes on an average in the spirit every day. Every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yet we want to walk a lot with God. So we can know the scripture, know the Bible, but yet don't understand. We can have all the seminars we want, but yet we quickly forget. Amen. We can rejoice in the word of the Lord, but we quickly forget the word. Because the heart doesn't have the ability to retain it for too long. Why? Because we have not wet it with the water of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what Jesus said about you? He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Do you know there are dead waters? Dead waters are water that doesn't produce fruit. But living water is living because there is life in it. Amen. And Jesus said it will come out of your belly. Didn't say it could come from outside. It will come from the inside. Praise the Lord. Which means it has to do with something that came through the Holy Spirit. And we can tell how it came. Bible says in Acts 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Who gave them the utterance? Who gave them the utterance? Now, would the Holy Spirit, you know what? Utterance means words represents water. If it comes from the Holy Spirit, is he a dead spirit? Is a living, a spirit of life. So the water he gives is a living water, a living word. Amen. Though beyond man's understanding, but yet he's still the same interpreter. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, prepare our hearts. Lord, prepare our minds. Lord, prepare our hearts. Lord, prepare our minds. Here we are, O God, before you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we rend our hearts right now. We commit tomorrow's conference before you. From tomorrow, Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday is a time of encounter with you, Father. It's a time of divine encounter. A time in which destiny shall be fulfilled. People shall be pushed into next level of their lives. The conference is prophetic occupation. It is a time where we know, as you have taught us, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Lord is our righteousness. That there will be a performance of all that you have promised, O God. According to the prophetic word you have spoken to us, Father. So our heart is prepared. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father, as I pray in tongues now, I pray prayers